I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods podcast. This episode is all about
Observation Point Rock.
Yeah. First of all, we've got a new patron to give a shout out to.
Adele.
Yeah. Thanks, Adele. We really appreciate you joining our patron. It's amazing. Not the patron account. That's just cool. But you joining it is amazing. I'm wittering, aren't I? I've also got a shout out to give to Tammy from, she says, hello from Kansas City, Missouri. I just wanted to say, and this is in capitals, I absolutely love listening to your podcast. I found your podcast a few weeks ago and I haven't stopped listening since. A few of them I've listened to more than once. I really wish I knew where to go so I could give you guys a 5-star rating. Have a wonderful day, Tammy. Thank you so much, Tammy. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. And sorry, because I didn't see that for a couple of days, but I've now responded to you. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/The Whispering Woods. Got a couple of tiers there, so you can listen ad-free. One's £3, and on the Banshee tier, which is £5, you get a mini episode every week. Extra. Right, have you heard of Observation Point Rock?
No, I haven't.
Okay, good job that I've done an introduction then. I've weirdly, for some reason, we know my brain gets a bit muffled sometimes, so I've kind of got two bits about Observation Point Rock, but they're from different perspectives, and I've done them separately. So, are you ready for the introduction?
Yes, I am.
Observation Point Rock, or OP Rock, was a small military outpost in the Helmand province where US and British troops fought against the Taliban. The site was said to be cursed by the spirits of the dead who were buried alive in a missile strike or found in mass graves. Soldiers stationed there reported seeing strange lights, hearing voices and static on the radio, feeling cold spots and smelling rotten flesh. The outpost was built on a 100-foot-tall mound with a tunnel system underneath, apparently dug by the Taliban as a defensive position. When the US Marines and British soldiers occupied the area and started digging to find or create defensive positions, they made a frightening discovery. They found human bones, skulls, and body parts, some still with flesh and hair attached, they realised that they had stumbled upon a massive grave where hundreds of people had been killed and buried by the Taliban. The soldiers were horrified by what they saw, and some even vomited or fainted. They tried to cover up the bones with sandbags, but they kept resurfacing. They also tried to burn the remains, but they would not catch fire. They felt that they had disturbed something evil and were being watched by the restless dead. The haunting began soon after. Some soldiers reported seeing ghostly figures, shadows, and orbs of light around the outpost. They heard screams, moans, whispers, and laughter in the night. They felt cold breezes, touches, and tugs on their clothes, and they smelt blood, decay, and smoke. They also experienced equipment malfunctions, such as radios turning off and on. One soldier claimed that he saw a little girl in a white dress, holding a doll, standing near the tunnel entrance. She smiled at him and said,
"Come play with me."
He ran away in terror and never went near the tunnel again. Another soldier heard a voice in his ear saying,
"I know what you did. You will pay for it."
He felt a sharp pain in his chest and collapsed. He was taken to the hospital, where he was diagnosed with a heart attack. Some soldiers believed that the haunting was caused by a curse placed by the locals or the Taliban to punish the invaders. They said that the outpost was a conduit for paranormal activity and that the spirits of the dead were angry and vengeful. They tried to appease them by leaving offerings such as food, water, cigarettes, and candy, but it didn't help. Others thought that the haunting was a result of psychological stress, trauma, or hallucination. They said that the soldiers were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, and that they were projecting their fears and guilt onto the environment. They said that the outpost was a hellhole and that the soldiers were living in constant danger and isolation. They tried to cope by using humour, drugs, alcohol, or religion, but that didn't help either. The outpost was eventually abandoned after the US and British troops withdrew from Afghanistan in 2021. The Taliban reclaimed the area. Some say that the haunting continues, and the outpost is still a place of horror and mystery. Researching this actually did give me the willies.
Yeah.
It really did. I think maybe because there's loads going on at the moment with wars and stuff, you can kind of be put in that frame of mind of what soldiers and civilians and other people go through. I found it really freaky because, you know, you're just going to be so anxious. You're not ever going to really relax, are you?
No.
In that kind of environment. And I do think that energy can create this kind of thing. You know, like tulpas, when you have that focus and energy and particularly bad stuff, I reckon it can be created. Bad energy.
Yeah.
Toby's just laughing at me. Right, are you ready for the second kind of introduction bit?
Yes, I am.
From a 30-foot high mound of earth, the Marines had a clear view of the flat poppy fields in Helmand Province. But they were puzzled by the odd phenomena they witnessed at night. The flickering lights, the eerie voices, the garbled radio signals, the unexpected coldness in a summer wind, and the persistent smell of death. Only later did they learn the true nature of the place they named Observation Post Rock. The locals of Amir Aga villages believed that the post and its surroundings were haunted by evil spirits. In this area, the Taliban fighters had taken refuge after the unsuccessful attempts of the American, Afghan, Soviet, and British forces to secure it. The abandoned post had become part of a legend in the American and Afghan local cultures, a strange mix of history, mysticism, and the supernatural. It is the setting for a ghost story that reflects the endless wars and the countless deaths in Afghanistan. The Taliban now have free rein over the small villages and the poppy fields in the Garmsar district of Helmand, all watered by a canal system that was constructed during the Cold War. Things were different when the Marines arrived in Garmsar to push the Taliban back. The high ground of what the Marines called a solid dirt mound gave them the best spot for an outpost to observe their enemy. The outpost was known as the Rock by Corporal Andrew Rouser, one of the first Marines who was stationed there. But before the Marines blew up the mound with an explosive device, thinking it was a Taliban stronghold, Lance Corporal Brendan Kelly found clues of the hill's old structure, tiny passages that went into its bottom and led to a single room, perhaps a castle or a grave. Corporal Kelly said it was spooky. The tunnels caved in after the Marines detonated the explosives. As time went by, human skeletons were found in the rock as different American groups came and left the outpost, and the ruin of Corporal Kelly's find in 2008 became part of its allure. The Americans claimed that a missile had hit the outpost before the Marines took it over, trapping Taliban fighters inside. But the bones were unlikely to be Taliban. They were much older, and probably some were from ancient times. A scholar from Garmsar, who asked not to be named for fear of reprisal, said the hill had initially been a fort, but that its purpose changed hundreds of years ago. He said that the locals and later the Pashtuns regarded it and the other similar structures in the area as sacred places and turned them into tombs. According to local officials and residents, the fort, which was the base of Observation Post Rock, is believed to have been built before the 1740s when Pashtuns arrived in Garmsar. According to the scholar, the rock was the site of a mass execution of communist police. The outpost was featured in an episode of the sci-fi TV show Paranormal Witness, True Terror, in 2015, called Beneath the Rock. The same Marines Mr. Coghlan had talked to in 2009 were on the show. Mr. Coghlan said in a recent interview that the Marines seemed to be suffering from stress-induced delusions. They had faced the extreme heat of the Afghan summer, the loss of their comrades, and the constant threat of attack from the rock's sandbagged walls. However, he said that the Marines had confided in him. There were some things they just couldn't explain, even though they were aware of psychological effects of combat. Mr. Coghlan said that one Marine had heard Russian whispers in the dark. The Marines who had spoken to Mr. Coghlan warned the squad that took their place that the outpost was haunted, but Dutch Perkins, a corporal in the new team, said no one believed them. Mr. Perkins soon changed his mind when he heard a Russian voice from midnight to dawn while on guard duty, alone with his machine gun. Mr. Perkins said that it made his hair stand up on his arm. It was real faint at first, but eventually sounded like someone was standing post with me. The only signs of the Russian presence in Amir Aga were the Marines and British, who came later, were two Soviet armoured personnel carriers that had been wrecked several hundred metres to the east. They had been part of the Soviet Union's first and unsuccessful attempt to invade Garmsar in 1982. A local resident of Garmsar, Abdul Ghani, said that the whole area became sacred after the battle. He said that the Soviet tanks got stuck in the mud when they approached the Amir Aga shrine. He also said that a Soviet rocket or bomb hit the shrine but did not detonate, which he attributed to a miracle. Mr. Ghani also said that several tanks went into the earth and disappeared. and that the land around Amir Aga and the rock was still heavy and fearful after many people died there. I'm going to have to rewatch that Paranormal Witness episode. I watched it years ago. You're not really into those, are you?
No, they're cheesy.
I love them. When Paranormal Witness first came out, Maisie was probably about 12, and we loved it. It was brilliant. And there's like some of them still to this day stick in my mind, some of those episodes. There was one about a doll. I think she was called the Susie doll. There was one about these mass murderers, and she kept seeing them in her flat with her child there. A few of those episodes really stuck in my mind. It's like watching A Haunting. They're my two favourite shows, and neither of them are putting new episodes out, I don't think.
Yeah, nah, the only ones that I've watched of like that was just Mothman.
Oh, the Mothman Prophecies. Have you seen the film of that?
Nah.
Because we were going to watch it several months ago, but we didn't ever end up doing it. But you watched the documentary, did you?
Yeah, like years ago.
It's good though.
Yeah.
I rewatch all of them.
I can't remember in it. But, yeah.
I rewatch all of them, honestly. I think I've seen The Beast of Bray Road about three or four times.
I used to watch, like, the Bigfoot things where they used to try find Bigfoot in the woods.
Yeah, I love it.
Or giants and that.
Yeah, yeah. There is actually, there was apparently a sighting of a giant in Afghanistan as well. I'm writing about that in the book, which is a good story. Right, so now I've got two, they're unrelated stories, but they are about Marines and freaky stuff happening in the barracks, is it called? I'm not sure, but you know, when they're out in their thingamajig. Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the first story?
Yes, I am.
I was in the Marine Corps from 2008 to 2012. And served as an infantry marine stationed in 29 Palms, California. In 2009, while training for my first deployment, we attended a specialty school called Marine Corps Cold Weather Mountain Warfare School, located in Bridgeport, California. I enjoyed the five-ish hour bus ride up Highway 395. Through the Sierra Nevada mountains. I took in the beautiful scenery and wondered what I was in for, dreading climbing the 12,000 foot plus mountains that littered the landscape. Weeks of training went by. I was relieved to hear that we were moving to Hawthorne to do some live fire exercises about 30 miles to the east, back into the desert. An old out-of-commission army base deemed uninhabitable in the 50s for various reasons. I was enthusiastic to escape the bitterly cold temperatures up on the mountain. I slept on the ride there, and upon waking, I looked out the window and was shocked at what I saw. Remnants of the old base scattered the landscape, halfway destroyed buildings, guard towers and other typical military stuff you'd expect to see. Behind that lay jagged lava rock mountains, casting their shadows over the ruined buildings. The place looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off nearby. Have you ever seen the old atomic test videos from when it was first developed? They would stage a fake town to analyse what the blast would do. This place was like that, mixed with the game series Fallout and Chernobyl, if you've ever heard of that. As we drove in further, I noticed a bunch of mine shafts heading into the sides of the mountains. Now, I was very curious as to where we would be staying. I was relieved to hear that there was a makeshift FOB. It was nothing fancy, just an old green tent for the NCOs and upper-ranking battalion staff. Us boots would be sleeping under the stars in the dirt. At least we had a makeshift HESCO wall around us to make things feel like home. During chow that evening, we were all sitting around, I asked my SGT, what are all the mineshafts in the hillsides for? He said they were munitions storage facilities, as well as a fallout shelter. This base was built and designed during the Cold War era, which made it super creepy. It's like all the people just decided one day to leave. Vehicles were still there, everything. It was strange. Night arrived. It was pretty hot out, even though it was night, as we were back down in the desert. I was having problems sleeping, even though I was just in my skivvies on top of my sleeping bag. Some of the others were awake. I could hear them. I stared into the stars and mountains looming over me. It was a full moon that night, with hardly any clouds as well, as I was scanning the mountain tops, which, if I had to guess, were 500 to 700 feet above me. Where we were sleeping made it seem I could almost reach and touch the top. I saw something strange moving about at the peak. Figuring my eyes were playing tricks on me from my extreme physical exhaustion and sleep deprivation, I disregarded it. Even later that night, I awoke to take away while utilising the head. I looked to where I saw something earlier. Surprisingly, the strange silhouetted figures were scurrying about the ridgeline. Now, this has caught my interest as my mind was wandering. Thankfully, I had a lot of really cool stuff lying in my backpack at the beaverwack site. Once at my gear, I grabbed my trusty PVS-14 night vision monocular. I bring them to my eye and look back up. Nothing? That can't be right, like, huh? I swear I saw something. I looked over to a buddy of mine who was awake and asked, hey, did you see that up there? He looks at me and says, What are you talking about, bro? I said, forget it. And a few more hours go by through the night, and a loud crash comes from the closest mineshaft, which was located 100 feet or so from the FOB. Literally, half the platoon sat straight up from a dead sleep. One of the SGTs screams from nearby and says, hit the ramp. It was just some falling rocks, which made sense to most of us. The following day, we woke up and did what we had planned to do for that day. Later that afternoon, we had some free time and were checking the nearby buildings out. Four of us decided to go down into a building. It was half above ground and half below. The wide staircase went down to open up into a larger cubicle-type area. Barely any light came through the small windows. I clicked on my weapon light and scanned the area. There were still papers and everything strewn about on top of the desks. We followed the hallway, which made a right turn. Mop suits and gas masks lined the hallway, hanging on hooks. We see a sign above one of the doorways that says, Girls Locker Room. Us being the typical 19-year-old Marines that we were, decided we had to check that out. I took point and entered the pitch-black room. I was looking through the lockers to try and find anything interesting. Then all of a sudden, the door behind us slammed shut. We all ran like hell out the other door. Two doors, one on either side of the rooms with lockers lining the doors. That's my life story, and thanks for reading it, if you did.
I think the shadows made the rocks fall.
I think so. That's what I thought as well. Nothing majorly spooky, but that kind of makes it more spooky in my eyes. Because he obviously saw something, or thought he saw something. The rocks fell. And then when they're looking at the girls' locker room and the door slams, I think that's the girls saying, get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what girls, but that's what I'm going with. It's like, what are you young men doing in our bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're just their energies left going, get out. Bit of female energy. So, in sort of army context, do you know what a head is?
Army?
Yeah.
Well, probably shooting someone in your head.
No. When he says I went to the head, it means that's where the toilets are.
Right.
And that comes, because I did a little bit of research, that dates back to when they were on the ships and the toilets would have been at the head of the ship. So they still call them the head.
Oh, yeah.
When they're on base and stuff. I thought that was quite interesting. Also, a TOC is a Tactical Operations Centre. All right? That's just for us who are not up to date with our army stuff. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, are you ready for the second and final story?
Yes, I am.
So just a short story from when I was in the United Arab Emirates. We had two locations. The LSA, where we were camped in contracted event tents, and a military installation on the shore of the Persian Gulf. I was a radio operator on the night shift on the base itself, a super cool place. Emiratis training around, the constant lapping of the waves on the Gulf, and our TOC was well heated. It gets cold as hell on the shore at night. The only wild thing about the base was that around our little TOCs, each battalion had their own, were a few abandoned or condemned buildings. I was on watch toward the end of the exercise process, almost home, and I was smoking a cigarette outside our Tactical Operations Centre tent. I went to the bathrooms we had set up and used the facilities, then started the 50-odd yard walk to the TOC. Between the TOC and the head, which are big contracted trailers with toilets retrofitted, there was an abandoned building. As I was passing it, I heard someone cry out. It was strange, because it was 2 a.m. The only people up were the command staff for the night, in shifts, the radio operators themselves, and I guess the area security forces, think guards at a gate. But they were 150 plus yards away and shouldn't be leaving their post for any reason. Me, being a somewhat capable Marine and have known that there were a few security mishaps, surveillance, probing attempts, I figured I should check it out. I had no rounds for my rifle, but an M4 can make a mean club if you've got the fighting spirit, and I kept a large knife on my belt. So short of staring down an AK, I felt good about my chances. I should not have. As I walked closer to the building, maybe 10 yards, I could hear the cries a little more clearly. It sounded like a shot bear, a baby cryish, plus dragging a cement block across the concrete. It made my blood cold. At this point, I wasn't feeling great about the encounter, but I also figured someone in this building might need some help. I couldn't just turn away, even though every fibre of my being was telling me to get away as fast as possible. Then silence. Nothing. Just the darkest room I've ever seen in my life. It felt almost oppressive, like someone had put my head in a vice and started cranking. I could hear the cry, but this time it was coming from inside my head. I dropped to the floor and rolled out. When I was rolling out, I swear I saw two large eyes attached to the largest person I've ever seen, darker than the black of the room around it, seared into my brain like saucers, glowing yellow. I turned and ran. I wasn't very far away from my TOC. Behind me, I heard something come out of the building. It was scratching like a dog trying to get purchase on a wood floor. I got back in the light of the street lamps that line the access road that wound between the tents and the equipment bays and heaved, threw my hands on my knees and tried to catch my breath. Then it occurred to me that I had only really moved 15 to 20 yards away from the building. I felt like I'd just run a full marathon, exhausted. When I looked past the building, I could see something standing, illuminated in the moonlight. Maybe 50 yards past the building. It looked like a kangaroo mixed with a fox, perhaps 5 feet tall. It was up on its haunches, swaying side to side, like it was moving with the wind. But its eyes, I will never forget its eyes, glowing yellow and the size of tea plates. They almost took up too much space on its face. It gave out a weird little cry and ran into the night. I shook my head and said a quick prayer, then took a breath and walked back into the TOC. When I walked in, the gunny on duty looked at me and went, "Hell, Mac, you look like you just saw a ghost. I didn't tell him what had happened. A friend of mine had recently died in an accident, and I was pretty sad. And even though I tried my best to head down and work, they knew I had taken it hard. The last thing I needed was someone thinking I was losing my gourd and putting me in Balboa, the military mental hospital, with less than a year out from EAS. So I just kept it to myself. Maybe someone here can guess as to what it was. I still have a nightmare about it twice a month. And when I'm out and about in the forest, I keep a rosary in my pack, just in case my old friend ever pays a visit."
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If I had a baby crying in the middle of the night, I would not go to investigate, because, like, that's just bait. That's something you see out of a horror film, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also, I think there were serial killers, or there was one in particular serial killer, that made the sound of a baby outside so that the women would go and investigate because of the, like, maternal instinct, and that's when he got them. So I'm with you, and I'm really sorry, babies.
Yeah.
If you get abandoned and I don't come and rescue you because I don't think you're a baby. So I'm apologising now in advance.
You gotta trust your gut, haven't you?
But yeah.
Obviously, if it was like daytime, there's people out about, then I'd go open, but...
Yeah, that's completely different. But like, if I heard a baby crying outside, like I was in bed and heard a baby crying outside, that would terrify me. I'd be like...
I start shouting out the window, probably. I'd be like, "Shut up, mate, I'm trying to get asleep."
I'd be like, "Toby, you need to go down." No, what I'd actually do is switch the ring on and see if I could see what was out there, you know?
Yeah, or I'd just try to scare them off in the ring.
Yeah, but what if it was actually a baby? That would, well, it'd just be weird, but we'd take the baby, obviously.
Yeah, but...
I'm not keeping it, though. We're too old.
The old Bill.
Yeah, we'd be calling the police because I'm not looking after another baby. Yeah, I'm 50 in a couple of months. No more babies. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed. We'll catch up with you again soon.
We will indeed. We will catch up with you again on Thursday. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.